Confidence to Lead is the podcast for leaders of growing companies. Providing insights, advice, and information, it will empower you to make bold decisions in your business. Here's your host, Sarah Bartholomews, CEO of U Legal.
Welcome back to Confidence to Lead. Today we're going to be taking a look at directors' duties. We'll consider the duty not to act for an improper purpose. So let's start with the duty to use directorial powers for a proper purpose. Have you ever considered using your power to issue shares in a company as a way of reallocating the voting power within that company? Have you ever attempted to increase your own voting power within the company? Have you ever entered into a contract as a way of taking a business opportunity away from a company for personal gain? Hopefully you answered no to all of these questions because you have a duty not to act for an improper purpose, which is hard to say because it's a double negative. But as a director, you're acting as an agent for the company and you may only act within express or implied powers granted to you. These powers may be granted by the Constitution or by the operation of law or by bylaws. The duty not to act for an improper purpose exists to ensure that directors use only the powers granted to them in a way that promotes the interests of the company. This duty stems from a director's fiduciary duty. One of a director's fiduciary duties is to be loyal to the company in all dealings and to act in the best interest of the company. Before determining whether you have breached this duty, a court will consider several elements. Firstly, was the power granted to the director? Let's take a look at the case of a director named Mr. Anderson. A company granted Mr. Anderson the power to issue shares in it. If the company granted a power or authority to Mr. Anderson through the company's constitutional bylaws, Mr. Anderson would be acting within the scope of the authority that had been provided to him. On the other hand, if Mr. Anderson had not been given such authority as a director, he would not have the power to issue shares. Doing so would be acting outside the scope of his authority. Directors who act outside the scope of their authorities are normally deemed to be acting for an improper purpose. What was the purpose of that power? Next, the court considered what Mr. Anderson's purpose really was when he used that power. He might have claimed that he had been acting for a proper purpose when he issued the shares because he was granted the power to do so and thought it was in the company's best interests. However, let's assume it came to light that the real reason Mr. Anderson wanted to issue more shares was so that he could give them to a company he owned and thus reinforce his own control of the company. This, of course, is not a proper purpose for his power. For example, in the case of Punt and Simons & Co. Limited, the directors issued new shares to give additional shareholders in order to secure the passing of a special resolution. The directors were deemed to have abused their powers. Similarly, in the case of Howard Smith and Ampol Petroleum Limited, a court decided the directors abused their powers by issuing shares as a way of creating a new majority and defeating the voting power of existing shareholders. This was held to be an improper purpose. The issuing of shares must be exercised in the interest of the company as a whole. Finally, the court will ask, is the real purpose lawful? For example, issuing shares to dilute shareholder voting power is not a lawful purpose. Similarly, issuing shares to control the board, to control the shareholders, or to prevent a takeover are deemed to be for an improper purpose and the director would be found in breach of his duty. Of course, regard will always be taken for the specific circumstances. Keep in mind that for the purpose to be improper, it has to be the primary purpose for issuing the shares. In some cases, a director might be acting for both an improper purpose and a proper purpose. To determine whether a director was acting for a proper purpose, the court will ask, but for the improper purpose, would you still have acted this way? Jack and Jill, our favourite directors, needed to raise some capital for the World Proprietary Limited and exercise their powers to issue shares for this purpose. Miss Muffet wanted to purchase some shares and invest $200,000, but this would result in a majority shareholding. Jack and Jill wished to retain control of the company. In order to facilitate the share sale, they also need to issue additional shares to themselves to retain control. Primary purpose was proper, and but for that proper purpose, the additional improper purpose would not have been exercised. If the court does not view the Directors Act as promoting the interests of the company or achieving the objective for which the company was established, the purpose of the act in question is not proper. In some cases, the shareholders may ratify an act for an improper purpose, making it valid. Of course, we lawyers always love exceptions, so it's worth noting that if an act results in prejudice to creditors of an insolvent company, it cannot be ratified. Similarly, an act affecting a third party who has acted in good faith and without notice of the breach of duty can also not be ratified. In the case of Mills and Mills, we can illustrate the tension that can arise when the self-interest of a director collides with the best interests of a company. On one side of the dispute was Nilson Mills. He was an ordinary shareholder, managing director, and company stalwart for many years. Nilson managed the family company with what one judge described as conspicuous success. We love judgment language. On the other side of the dispute was Ainsley Mills. Ainsley was Nilson's nephew and also a preference shareholder, a newly appointed director and critic. At age 25, Ainsley suddenly came into possession of the majority voting power. What happened next changed everything. Certain directors of the company passed a resolution resulting in the distribution of extra shares to ordinary shareholders. This created a shift in power away from Ainsley and a return to the original hierarchy, securing the position of Nilson. The challenge was that the resolution was not passed bona fide in the best interests of the company, because the resolution benefited the directors by increasing their voting rights. However, it's important to note that the court found that the resolution was passed in the best interests of the company and for a proper purpose. The judge explained that to disallow the directors to act in a way that is in the best interest of the company but also benefits them would create impossibilities in the administration of companies, because many directors are also shareholders of the companies that they direct. The moral of the story is, as long as the directors are acting in good faith and for a proper purpose, they don't necessarily need to forego a benefit to themselves. Under the Act, the potential penalties of acting for an improper purpose include a financial penalty of up to $200,000, disqualification from managing a corporation, an order to pay compensation, and even potential criminal consequences for reckless and dishonest behaviour. Join us for the next episode next week of Confidence to Lead, when we look at the duty of care and diligence. In the meantime, feel free to give me a call, shoot me an email, get in touch by our website, ulegal.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.